Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Maria Ross. Maria's mission in life is to engage, inform, and delight audiences. She has almost 20 years' experience building brands, creating campaigns, generating leads, and advising companies, big and small, on how to tell the right story to the right customers at the right time. She's a published lifestyle writer, wine columnist, actress, and author of the book, Branding Basics for Small Business, which was published in 2010. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Maria.
Thanks for having me, Karma.
You're very welcome. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little bit about your journey to success in public speaking?
Absolutely. My journey actually started from a very young age. I was actually a child actress from the age of 6. And obviously not a shrinking violet, very much an extrovert. And I really enjoyed acting. I really enjoyed performing and entertaining and being a spokesperson and all of that before I probably even realized that I enjoyed it. And so the skills that I learned from that early age on how to speak to perfect strangers, how to jump into a situation and just be expected to know your lines and perform, it really started then. And then I was a marketing major in college and went on to a life in corporate America and was a director of marketing for many startups and Silicon Valley firms. And I had to do a lot of presenting to the sales force, sometimes very hostile audiences in many cases. And that was sort of where I began to do more speaking and presenting and kind of honing those skills. Initially in my career, I started out as a management consultant. And so from the age of 22 or 23, I was having to present to CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. So I definitely got a baptism by fire.
Wow.
In terms of being on message and gaining buy-in and clarity in your points and what you're trying to say. And so I brought that with me into my marketing career, again, speaking to audiences and sometimes speaking at trade shows or conferences or things like that on behalf of the company. And then when I started my own firm in 2008, Red Slice, which is a branding and marketing consultancy, I do a lot of speaking engagements now. I do a lot of workshops. I get asked to speak at the Chamber of Commerce, Small Business Administration, conferences, panels, things like that. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Wonderful. Well, given your unique experience with public speaking, do you believe that it is a learned skill or something you are born to be able to do? And why do you feel that way?
You know, that's really interesting because I've thought about that. And I think it's kind of a lame answer, but I think it's a little bit of both. I get excited to speak and teach in front of people. I mean, for me, again, having sort of that acting background, for me, it's sort of like opening night. And so I thrive off of that energy and that stress and that nervousness. But I also know a lot of very successful entrepreneurs who absolutely dread speaking in front of crowds. And they're brilliant people who have been entrepreneurs for decades. And they're just paralyzed by speaking in front of people. Now, part of this is, I think, part of my personality. But I think a lot of it was, again, honing those skills in acting and honing those skills over the course of the jobs that I've had and having to be in those situations and learning how to prepare, taking effective presentations, classes, being coached. All of that, I think, factors into it. And I know people that actually are very introverted and very shy about speaking who have really blossomed by taking courses or getting coached or just really doing some extra training to get them over that hump of, oh, I'm not a public speaker by nature. So I think it is a little bit of both. I think if you by nature enjoy being around people and sharing your knowledge and offering value, then it's probably a lot easier to get really good at it. But I firmly believe that if somebody's got the desire, that training and coaching and resources like that can really help.
Yeah, I think you're basically in line with what I've been feeling and about public speaking as a skill, and also pretty much in agreement with what most of the people I'm interviewing for this program believe. And I think I've only had one person so far say that they thought it was something you were born with. Almost everyone thinks it's a combination. And I think partly it's because although you may be born with the natural inclination, like yourself, you can always hone that skill.
Absolutely. I mean, and you can always improve, and I'm still always learning. I'm not perfect in every public speaking engagement I have. I think if you ever get to the point that you think you're perfect, you probably are not.
Yes.
But it's really about, you have to believe in your value. You have to see the audience not as this hostile, judgmental group of people, but people that really want you to succeed. And you've got to look at it as a partnership. And some of that is being born with being able to see that, but a lot of people can be trained and coached on that, that
yes.
they are not the enemy. And
yes.
so you really want to offer value, and you want to see them as partners that are wanting you to succeed and wanting you to entertain them and wanting you to add value to their lives. And there is a certain amount maybe of innate being quick on your feet and being able to adapt to the mood or interest of the audience. But again, through coaching and through practice, you can get really good at that, and you can prepare your stories that you're going to share ahead of time
right.
and do as much preparation as you can ahead of time so that you can have the mind space to think on your feet and adapt.
Right. So now I'm really curious to hear your answer to my next question, and that is, imagine that you are a public speaking superhero. What do you believe would be your main superpower?
I love this question. I should have thought of more pithy, cute ways to say this, but I think that my main superpowers are the ability to tell stories naturally without notes. Again, maybe that comes from the acting background, but I am at heart a storyteller, and when I look at a public speaking engagement in terms of sharing stories that will benefit people, it becomes so easy for me. So I really feel like telling stories in a very natural, not rote or rehearsed way is the big superpower that I kind of bring to the table. The other one is, I think that I'm really able to read the room as I go. And like I was talking about earlier, be able to adapt where things need to be adapted. So I have a good sense of when people are bored. If the light's gone out in their eyes, I'm able to make eye contact with them, which is really important, and see if I'm quote-unquote losing them,
right.
and adjust my presentation as it needs. So maybe I was going to go through 5 slides, and I'm realizing I'm losing people on this point. So maybe I just jump to my next section. And I think that that is a really important skill, and one that I think, again, I always get better with practice, but I kind of feel like I'm pretty good at reading the room.
Good. So now, what advice would you give to someone who wanted to develop those two particular superpowers?
Well, I think number one is to, as I was kind of alluding to earlier, is to go in this knowing that the audience is on your side. They are not the enemy. They are not wanting you to fail, because it's their time too. So they're there for the hour or 3 hours or half day, however long you're presenting, and they want to get something out of it too. So when you step on that stage, they have just as high hopes for you as you do for yourself. So
right.
engage with that, and don't start out defensively or scared or not confident, because that will quickly turn the crowd against you. And then I would say the second thing is just to remember that it's not about you, it's about them. So you need to remember that your audience and what they care about and what they need to hear is the most important thing, not what you want to say. And I can give an example of someone who does a lot of workshops and seminars, someone that I know, and recently gave a presentation to a group of college students in a college class, and gave her exact same presentation that she gives when she's selling product to these college students, and didn't even think there was anything wrong with that. And most of these students, you know, they're not going to spend money on her products and services.
No.
So it was completely inappropriate. And that's when you get a hostile audience, is they know that she didn't respect them enough to create content that was relevant to them. And so you want to approach every speaking engagement with, who's the audience? What do they care about? What do they need to hear? And craft your presentation from that perspective. And then no matter what bumps along the way you hit in the presentation, how many ums and ahs or technical difficulties, they'll be on your side, because they'll know that you respect them enough to deliver something that they care about.
Definitely. Now, also, you mentioned specifically in your superpowers the ability to tell stories and the ability to read a room. Do you have any tips on how to develop those two particular skills?
Absolutely. I think that when you're putting together your presentation, you definitely want to bring your points to life with anecdotes or stories. So those are things you're going to want to think about ahead of time before you get up on the stage. And maybe that's what's on your note cards, if you carry note cards on the stage with you. The points could maybe be on your slides or in people's workbooks, but it's the stories that are going to bring it to life, because that's what we all care about, right? We all remember when we hear an urban legend, we can hear it once and remember it and repeat it to lots of other people. But if we hear kind of boring note and slide after slide, death by PowerPoint, that might not be the most memorable thing.
Yes.
So you want to think about those places where you can tell a story or give an illustration or give an anecdote, whether it's from your own experience or it's something that maybe you read in a paper or in a magazine or online or something that happened to maybe a colleague of yours. But make sure you have those thought out and practice those ahead of time to bring your presentation to life. And then the other thing about reading the room is really just about taking your time, taking a breath, and making the eye contact and looking around. And learn to read body language. Learn to read if someone's eyes are drifting off or they're slouching in their chair. But if you can look out in the crowd and see heads nodding at what you're saying, then you know that you have them. You know that they're engaged and that they're interested and that they're absorbing what you're saying. So it's sort of a learning to read people and learning to get out of your own head while you're presenting and make sure, again, it's all about them. It's not about you. So pick up their body language cues, pick up their facial expressions, try to make eye contact as much as you can.
Now, let's say you have an audience where most of the room is engaged, but you've got like one or two people who maybe are nodding off, probably having nothing to do with your speech.
Mm-hmm.
Do you weigh the number of people that are engaged in reading the room, or do you still try to engage the one or two who maybe just didn't have enough sleep the night before?
You know, that's a good question. I actually think I use a variety of approaches for that. I mean, if I've got 95% of the room on side, then I probably am not worrying too much about that because, again, I don't know what's happened in that person's day or, like you said, if they got a bad night's sleep. But you can also, if you think you're losing the audience, you can ask questions and get them to participate. Asking simple questions where you're getting people to raise their hand, or if you give them some exercises along the way of your presentation, so they actually have to write something down or discuss something with a partner, all those kind of silly exercises sometimes that we do, the purpose of them is to kind of shake it up and to get them
right
out of just being lectured to. So I use tricks like that. So I keep a couple of those in my back pocket. Normally my presentations already have some element of that interactivity in them, but if I feel like I've gone on for too long, I might stop and ask a question. Or if I'm about to tell a story, let's say, about a company or a brand, I might pose the question, how many of you out there have shopped at this store? Just a couple of you, what do you think about it? What's your impression of their brand? And so that's something that's sort of off the cuff. It really helps to sort of snap people back into the conversation. And sometimes what I use is if a person is really engaged and the person next to them isn't, I try to call on the person who's engaged because they're sitting right next to the person that isn't. And so maybe just that person next to them speaking up will be enough to kind of get them back. Or again, you know, maybe I get them to do an exercise with someone who's a little bit more engaged so that some of that energy will rub off on them.
Wow, that's a good tip. That's definitely
right.
A good tip.
And you're not going to win everybody all the time as well. So, you know, you
true.
Don't sort of accept that.
Yeah, and you never know. Like, especially at those events where they start at 8 in the morning, they go until 6 or 7 at night, and then they start at 8 the next morning,
mm-hmm.
and there's usually a party and cocktails, and you never know how much sleep that person's had, and then there's the room temperature. They usually say keep the room cool because it keeps people awake, but, I mean, I may be the only person on the planet, but if a room's too cold, that puts me to sleep as well.
Yeah. Well, and those are all the things when you're preparing for a presentation, those are questions you need to ask of the coordinator. Is, Dan, who's the audience? What are their ages? What are their genders? What do they care about? What keeps them up at night? That's always a good one to find out because maybe you can address that in your topic. But then logistically, are you speaking right after lunch? Are
right.
you speaking right before happy hour? Are you speaking first thing in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning? So you may need to adjust your content and maybe the order of your content to maybe include more interaction or to maybe if you're doing something early in the morning, maybe start off with a video or something that will engage people right away and sort of get them pumped.
Right. You know, that was going to be my next question. Do you tailor your presentation to what time of day you're giving it?
Absolutely. I think you have to. I think you can have a core presentation that can be delivered any time of day, but you need to figure out what maybe your opening act is for your presentation. And maybe you start off with a group activity. Maybe you start off with asking them a bunch of questions. Maybe, like I said, you start off with a video or some music or anything like that, but you're going to have to adjust that depending on maybe time of day that you're presenting.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Maria, for sharing your unique perspective on public speaking today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. This is the end of today's session of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.